where it wouldn't be obvious where the wounds were. That was not the case in this case. It was not necessary. And there are no reports that the police rendered any medical attention whatsoever to Brian Andrus. Neighbors report that, or early reports are that the medical personnel arrived somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes after the shooting. This is with the police giving, and even after the fire department had arrived, they did not immediately give medical attention to Brian Andrus. Can you think of anything else that was in the Sentinel or perhaps the wonderful Mercury News article that that you found particularly
questionable or misleading? Well, of course, it's true that Sentinel reporter operates under a deadline, and I personally have no particular love for Karen Clark, the one who did the first story. There were actually two reporters who covered this. On Monday's story was covered by Karen Clark, and Tuesday's was by Mae Wong, which actually had a more interesting perspective because they actually interviewed Lori, the wife of Brian Andrus. Well, let's see. I'm looking.
I guess the bat wielding, of course, is the most suspect. Did he actually strike the officers with a bat?
Yeah, that's a question that it's not really too clear from the story, except that the report we get is from Lieutenant Habe, a man at this in its Clark's story in the Monday Sentinel reads, at that point, a man came out of the apartment and began swinging wildly at the officers with a bat, striking two of the officers. The man was in no mood to cooperate at that point, said Habe. He was beyond reasoning with the officers are taught to react to the immediate threat. However, when we spoke to the children involved, we talked to, I guess, three of the four children who saw this and actually interviewed them, and when we spoke to a woman who saw this from her porch, those accounts give no indication of anybody being hit with a bat. There is one child does say that he was kind of brandishing a bat, but there is no indication that anybody was hit with a bat. And there are very specific charges. For example, earlier in the story it says, police said Officer Zamenik fired even after being knocked to the ground with a full swing to the chest by the bat-wielding Andrus. These were not just taps with a baseball bat, said Police Lieutenant Joe Habe. He got two officers pretty good.
Now that is really interesting because the witnesses that we talked to said none of them reported that any of the officers were acting like they were injured. There was just no indication that there was some sort that they needed medical attention or that they were in any kind of pain.
Well, it does say that, and I suppose this can be verified or denied, Zamenik and Garazio were treated at Dominican Hospital for severe bruises and released. So it is possible that officers were hit with bats. Again, as we said, none of the witnesses we've talked to have indicated they saw that happen, and we have at least four people, three of them children, who said they saw Brian emerging from the house and they saw the moment when the shots were fired. So the question is an open one. I'm not saying that's necessarily false. I'm saying that there are certainly, again, as in the Happy John case, there are contradictory accounts. Now, maybe we should do now. I was actually going to, play a little bit of, have a little bit of this discussion and then move on to another topic here on Bathrob Spiro's Broadsides, which, by the way, is the show you're listening to on Free Radio Santa Cruz, which is the station you're listening to at 96.3 FM. We're the free radio station in Santa Cruz, the one that will broadcast the truth, even if Police Chief Belcher and all the advertisers in town don't like it. The voicemail here, if you want to get a public service announcement in, is 427-4523. The number of HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the civil rights group I work with, is 423-4833. And equally important is SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. This is a group that is concerned with misconduct by the police. And if you have an incident of misconduct to report, give a call to SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, at 475-2012, 475-2012. SPAN is not in the phone book, but if you call that number, 475-2012. You will get SPAN. And if you've had a problem with a police officer, a security guard, highway patrol officer, a host, anyway, any authority figure who's wielding force or threats of force against you, they'll take your complaint there. Now, perhaps...
I wanted to find one other little thing here about this Sentinel article by Karen Clark. From the date of this was Monday, March 16th, where it says that the officer, this was Officer Grazio, we later learned, he put a foot in the door to prevent it from closing. This is when Lori Andrus had consented to open the door and was talking to him a crack. This was before she had opened the door a crack by her own volition, but she did not consent to let him enter. She was just talking to him through. Let me read what it says here. The officer put a foot in the door to prevent it from closing. Andrus had cut his hand on his car window, which he broke because he had locked his keys inside. That was earlier in the day. At that point, said Habe, a man came out of the apartment and began swinging wildly at officers with a bat. We're missing something in this story. At that point, Grazio put his foot in the door to prevent it from closing. That's correct from what we hear. But then what we don't hear is that he burst inside.
Grazio.
He grabbed Lori's wrists, pushed her arms up behind her head in a violent way that caused her pain. And at the top of the stairs, her husband, Brian, saw Officer Grazio assaulting his wife. And he rushed down the stairs. Who wouldn't?
Well, of course, now, you're not an eyewitness to this, Becky, it should be said, nor am I. And this is actually an account that appeared in the next day Sentinel, in the Tuesday Sentinel, in the story by Mae Wong. It was an account from Lori Andrus, who admittedly is, of course, partial, one would assume partial to Brian Andrus because of their relationship. But still... a story not necessarily to be discredited. What I'd like to play now are some excerpts from a story by a neighbor who saw what went on. She prefers to remain anonymous at this point, but we're going to play at least part of her account now. And what we may be doing in the days ahead here on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 is to play this full loop tape several times, depending on what the other broadcaster's schedules are like, so you can hear it in more detail, consider it, think about it. And I'm particularly concerned that the members of the neighborhood listening are able to come to some conclusions as to what they want to do in what appears to be certainly a case of police overreaction, and in a situation which also appears to be a case where the safety of the local children was not uppermost in the police officers' minds. Let's hear a little bit of this witness from the neighborhood who saw what happened.
I went over and spoke with Lori yesterday.
How's she doing?
She's moving away.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Is she moving, like, immediately, or is she...
I think so. I think that... I guess she has a place in Tahoe, so that's where she originally came from. Mm-hmm. She's going to move back up there. And she has a good job here. She's leaving behind.
What kind of work does she do?
She works at the vitamin company in Scotts Valley. Not sure what it's called. But
So what did she say when you talked to her yesterday? In other words, what you said, you spoke to her and she, in the story, for example, it says that she didn't see the incident where he was actually supposedly hitting the police with a bat.
No, she said she didn't see any of that.
Now, you were on the porch and saw most of what happened yourself?
Yes, but at one point I had gone inside. So I saw when the police arrived, and I had gone back in the house, and then when I went back on the porch, is when I saw Brian standing on the sidewalk. I couldn't see a clear picture of him. I could just see that it was Brian. And then I saw the officers open fire.
So you couldn't tell if he had hit them beforehand with a bat?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
And I know that Rick talked yesterday to three of the children who saw this. Did he ever get a hold of a fourth and talk to him?
Yes, and none of the two children that were out on the sidewalk that watched this, they didn't see Brian hit any officer with a bat.
Huh. Now, did they describe... So in other words, if that had happened, did they see inside the house, or were they only saw what happened outside? Did you get any sense of that?
Well, they were standing right there on the sidewalk, so I'm confused on why you can look right in if the officers got as far as right through the front door, you can still see everything, but they did not see Brian hit an officer with the bat, so...
Yeah, it seems to be contradictory.
Yes.
Now, what about were any of the officers lying down or fell to the ground at any point?
As they were using their gun, a few of them, one of them was on his knee as he was firing, and there was one that I could see... I don't think he was sitting. I think he was crouched down when he was firing.
But was there an officer who was not firing who was on the ground?
No, I didn't see that. They were all standing. And then after the shooting, for a short minute, I ran through the house to greet the many children that were running through my back door crying and scared. And I consoled them for a minute. Then I ran back outside because I heard my husband driving up, and I flagged him over to please go check on Brian and Lori. And I didn't see one officer hurt over there. I did not see one of them. You know, they were all standing around there, I'm sure, getting their story together. But I didn't see one officer down on the ground. I didn't see one officer complaining that they were hurt at all.
So did you see the any medics give any officers CPR to the officers?
No.
And were you pretty much watching continuously there?
Yes, then I continually watched everything.
So the point at which you went back to see the kids was about what point?
Right after all the firing went on, mm-hmm. and everybody screaming to get down, mm-hmm. and then I was still on the porch. They're crawling up on the driveway and around the house. And then when I heard them enter the back door, I ran through the living room and told them everything was okay, you know. And
so you saw the shooting part?
Yes, I did.
Now, what initially drew your attention to this?
When Brian had ran his white car up the... onto the sidewalk, and then the wife came out and moved it down, and then I phoned not 911 but the regular police, because my son had been rollerblading right there and I was concerned about why Brian had done that. But while I was on the phone to dispatch, they said somebody else was taking the call and that they would take care of it, and I said fine. And then I noticed through the front door that an officer had arrived. So I went out to see what that was about, and then three more arrived. And now, these officers, I believe two of them had leather gloves and batons in their hands. Now, these officers were acting pumped up, the adrenaline going. These were officers that were going to check out a situation. These officers were acting like they were going to get somebody. They were just so pumped up. It was so obvious, the way they were even approaching the apartment.
And so these officers, The chronology, did you hear the officers saying anything to the people inside?
No, at that point, my girlfriend drove up to pick up her son, who was playing with my son. So I was distracted in dealing with her and wondering where the boys were, and I said, they better come home, because they were down and around the sidewalk rollerblading. So I started yelling for them, and my girlfriend walked down the sidewalk to greet them, because they were coming around up around that sidewalk where Brian's apartment was. She had them cross over to the grass.
What was her name?
I saw the officers approaching the apartment.
This was four officers?
Yes. I guess I had saw one first arrive on the scene, and then three more came quickly after that.
Could you identify these individually, or do they all pretty much have a similar appearance?
No, they were all different.
Okay, so you would know who was who if you saw them again, or you might?
I could probably identify two of them.
Which two would those be?
Let's see, the one particular officer had dark hair with the gloves, and he was really, and the baton, and he was just, you could just tell how pumped up he was.
See the first one, or one of his?
I didn't pay attention to what order they came in, really.
And what was distinguishing about him? You didn't determine his name later, I think.
No, I haven't. I haven't figured that out.
But you probably, if you saw him again, you might recognize him?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
And then the other one?
He had light brown hair and tall. And he had parked in front of my neighbor's house. So I...
And then you saw things begin to happen pretty quickly?
Yes.
What happened then?
And as soon as I was hollering to my son to get across the street, and I could see the police all around by the front, you know, door and out by the patio area, then my attention was on my friend coming up the driveway, and then I looked back over. The officers had opened fire. Yeah, that's when they opened fire. All of a sudden, you could just see them.
And now describe as best you can what you saw as you saw them open fire.
I just saw Brian through the trees, of course, standing on the sidewalk, and I saw the officers just holding their guns, and I watched bullets flying everywhere.
And was he struck in the head?
I don't know. At this time, I could not see, nor did I know where he was struck, other than he hit the ground.
Now, you were watching from your porch across the street?
Yes.
Was your view obstructed by a tree?
No, the officers, at least three of the officers, were in sight of me because I saw the red fire that comes out of the guns. I don't know what that is called, but I saw that. I didn't see the fourth officer. I believe he was behind the tree because they shot a bullet through Lori's apartment on the very corner of the window, and I saw this yesterday when I went over there, and it ricocheted off the living room wall because the officer pointed out to Lori that was the mark on the wall was where a bullet ricocheted off the wall.
And we're talking about Lori, the wife.
Yes,
of Brian.
And the thought that she was in there
with her child,
Hannah, sleeping. I just was in shock. So the officer that I couldn't see, he must have been firing at a different angle than the officers that were firing at Brian down the sidewalk How in the world would a bullet go through the window then, you know?
So, yeah. So
that was real bad.
So let me understand the trajectories of these, where these men fired from as far as you could see.
Okay.
Run by me where they were standing and where Brian was standing.
Brian was standing, and there's the fence that is in front of his apartment door.
Mm-hmm.
Brian was standing right there on the sidewalk next to the fence.
Now, there's a sort of a sidewalk leading out of his door to a small inner sidewalk in the patio. Is he standing on that inner sidewalk? Or,
no.
No, he's standing right next to his door near the fence?
He was standing on next to the lawn, that sidewalk.
So he was...
He was not in his patio area. He was on the other side of that fence, near the lawn.
And was he near where the little inner sidewalk intersects the sidewalk that comes out?
And you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. We're listening to an account of a neighbor who currently wishes to remain anonymous, but who may go public with this at some point in the future, because I know she is very concerned about this going on in her neighborhood and wants to bring this issue to public view. At least that's what she was telling me earlier today. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM.
That's right.
It certainly is. And I'm your host, Bathrobe Spear Robert Norris.
And I'm your guest.
And I'm your... he is my guest. And it's David Silva. David's been waiting here patiently to give an announcement, but of course I already told you about it an hour ago, but maybe he could tell you about it again.
I'd like to tell perhaps in different terms. Some of you have heard and know about the Urban Agriculture Initiative, the Pelton Property Initiative, and how they had... failed to make the ballot by some 46.3 error rate in their signature gathering. And that's given us a bit of a chill in the committee to repeal the sleeping ban. So we're going in a little bit into crisis mode, a little bit into panic mode. And our scheduled community walk that we have for Saturday, we are begging you, if you support our proposition in any way, support the right for the voters of Santa Cruz to vote on the sleeping ban. And we know from our just a little bit of community walk we've done, we know we've got about 85% of the voters now. The problem is we have to get the thing on the ballot. So we need people. We have a lot of homeless people that are going to be showing up at Loudon Nelson at 11:30 Saturday. And we need people, perhaps even if you're not in the city limits, you can carry literature and you can walk with a homeless person door to door and get this job done. So we're going to have a big push this Saturday. I'd like to see you all there. That's 11:30 Loudon Nelson Center. And I'm begging you to please come. If there's something wrong with Santa Cruz, if there's something, some little dark niche, little dark corner of the heart of Santa Cruz that is causing Santa Cruz to behave in this unprogressive manner, if there's something that's really eating at the heart of Santa Cruz and making it from a what at one time was perhaps considered, you know, they called the Republic of Santa Cruz a socialist dream that's turned into a Stalinistic police state nightmare, that might be that the sleeping ban is a basic human rights violation and has to be turned. Until we turn that around, perhaps we can't begin to shift the consciousness. So I'm begging you, if you support us in any way, please come Saturday, Loudon Nelson, 11:30. Robert, it's your show.
Well, thank you, David, and I hope that hope you haven't left us, listeners. Indeed, I hope you do show up at 11:30 on Saturday. That's the 21st at Loudon Nelson Center to help us, because in helping us, I think you help the entire community, and all we're doing is giving the people a choice about making it legal for people to sleep somewhere at night or to cover up with blankets.
Mm-hmm.
Take care, David.
Okay, bye-bye.
Kiss on the cheek is always welcome. So, what did happen on that Sunday evening 4 days ago when Brian Andrus was shot, perhaps fatally, certainly still in the hospital, by police officers, three of them, packing guns, packing batons, but apparently not using their batons, not using their mace, not using their pepper spray, not using their fists or their bodies, but using bullets and guns in a neighborhood filled with children, forcing their way into a house, into a situation with a man who'd previously had a problem with police, but
I guess of whom the only complaint was that there was a loud argument inside the apartment. It's a real question, and I hope it's a question that will be publicly considered. And for those of you who are listening and want to know what your options are, you have several. You have the option to call the mayor, Celia Scott, and or any city council member at the 24-hour hotline, or I should say message line, that's available even now, even in the evening hours, even in the wee hours of the morning. And that's a line that will get you through to a recording where you will leave a message and they will get back to you. And that phone number is 429-3550, 429-3550, if you have a concern about this kind of thing happening, either because it's happening in your neighborhood or because you don't like the idea of it happening anywhere in the city, or because you're concerned about just the idea that police are making such free use of firearms in our community. Secondly, you can call the Citizens Police Review Board. This is a board that I've had very little good to say about. They successfully whitewashed the Happy John Dine shooting, and there's not a lot to be said for them. They've refused to hold public hearings without exception throughout their history. But this could be the case that they have to hold public hearings on. This could be the case that they need to, they feel the need to do an independent investigation of. And you can make a complaint with them about excessive force in this situation by calling their number 429-3262. 429-3262, and they too have a 24-hour message line. That's the Citizens Police Review Board. We're going to continue now with this anonymous account by a local neighbor at Button Street on the evening last Sunday when Brian Andrus was shot repeatedly by the police for wielding a baseball bat.
He was a foot or so away from that.
And where were the police officers?
Okay, where the big tall trees were. I could see them down the sidewalk. You know, there's an apartment door, the people that live inward towards Brian's door to the right. They were down the sidewalk in about, I can't really estimate, but they were on the sidewalk in front of the next door neighbor.
Now, as you're looking at Brian, were these officers to the right or to the left of Brian?
To the right, my right.
To your right, as you look, and it would be to his left, of course, because he was facing you, I assume. Was he facing you?
He was standing there, so I don't know what he was doing. I could just see him there.
And the police officers were all pretty much on his right, or was there somebody coming out? Had any officers entered the house at any point?
That, I did not see that. I know they did because they grabbed Lori, and she said they threw her arms up in the air.
This is from her account later.
Yes.
But you didn't actually see, you saw the officers knocking at the door.
Yes.
And you saw, did you see Brian come out?
No.
So that's when your attention was distracted.
Yes. And he had already been out onto the sidewalk there when I looked back over there.
Did you hear the officers saying anything to the people inside, like open up or what's going on? And did you see Lori talking from her window to the officers?
No, I did not.
Would you have seen that if you'd been there, or could that have happened before or in a moment when you were distracted?
I could have seen the whole thing if I would have continued to stay on the porch, but I was more concerned about getting my son
across
the street and yelling at him, hurry up!
Now, were you alarmed when you saw these police arrive? Apparently you felt it necessary to call the police rather than, say, to call Lori. I mean, did you feel threatened in any way by Brian or what?
Well, I just thought that hopping the curb, there's children skateboarding and rollerblading. I just didn't feel that Brian should be doing that.
You think he was he intoxicated or not?
No. She told me the events of the whole day, and Brian doesn't drink. He just has a mental illness, and she said that particular day he locked his keys in the car, and that triggered this anger that he has. that he had, you know, bad experiences with the police, and she knew that it would get a lot worse if they got involved when he's angry like that.
So how did she describe events as they happened? What was the first she heard about the police arriving?
She said that she looked through her window and told them that everything was fine and to go away, that she was fine. And then she opened the door to tell them again, she told me, to everything was fine. And then she went to shut the door, and she said the officer put his foot there, pushed the door open, and pushed his way in.
Then what happened in her account?
He grabbed her by the wrist and threw her arms up.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, Brian was upstairs, and the stairs are right by the door. They go straight up from the door.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that Brian was upstairs right there, and he saw the officer doing this to her, and she said he came running downstairs.
Mm-hmm. And so this is right next, the stairway is right next to the door?
Yes, it is. Walk in the door and you go straight up the stairs to the loft apartment. Brian ran down the stairs, and I haven't really got any details about what really happened, other than she said she didn't see Brian have a bat in his hand. She didn't see that at all.
How about a bottle?
No, she didn't see that at all.
Did you see him have a bat or a bottle in his hand?
No, I didn't. And when I saw him standing outside, I guess if he had a bat, I didn't see it through the tree branches and not the, stalk of the tree. I could clearly see Brian there, though, through the trees. And no, I didn't see Brian with a bat.
Did he own a bat,
I do not know. And Lori, I haven't talked to Lori about it.
And
no.
What bottles were these supposedly that were thrown? Or were they thrown, in your opinion?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The boy next door said that there were some bottles next to a tree there. But
and that was selections from an account by a witness to the shooting of Brian Andrus by three Santa Cruz police officers last Sunday. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, here in Santa Cruz. Stay tuned. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, of course, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor. Much of the evening we've been talking about police misconduct and the questionable shooting of Brian Andrus over on Button Street. We've been listening to a couple of neighbors and other folks here in the studio talking about that shooting. We have now a recorded interview with another neighbor. This woman is very straightforward, gives her name, and talks about what her thoughts on the situation are. She didn't actually see the shooting, but she has children who were nearby, and she has some very strong opinions about it. Okay, we're on the line and we're talking to
Allie.
And Allie, you live on Button Street.
That's correct.
And you are a neighbor of Brian Andrus. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's right.
And you were, you have some things to tell us about what happened the afternoon that Brian was shot.
Well, actually I'm having two issues with the events that took place that day. And the major and priority being the conduct of the police that day. It was a Sunday afternoon here in the apartments. There's over 100 children that live here, including my own 3-year-old. And I was out rollerblading in the back lot with a couple of the other kids, about seven or eight of the boys, and at the time that the shooting took place, one of the boys that was with me had come around the corner and was within 15 feet of the police officers when they opened up fire. And for what I understand, Brian was surrounded at the time, and I just feel that with the amount of people that were out and about, that mace should have been used, or perhaps a stun gun, but myself and many other residents here are in complete shock that they opened fire with guns. So I know that they were here the other day with metal detectors, and my front door is about 20 yards from where the shooting took place, and they were going by my patio and so forth looking for shell casings. So it's troubled all of us here.
Have you had any conversations with other neighbors?
I've had, actually last night I had a neighbor come over that I've pretty familiar with, and her sister lives with her and is handicapped, and she came over and was quite frightened by the whole incident. And we usually say hello to each other in passing, but she came over and knocked on my door last night and was really frightened and was talking about, she was just real frightened by what had happened. And most of the people that I've talked to here on Button Street are, we're feeling a little bit slighted because we feel like the police didn't treat us with any respect. They didn't during the investigation immediately after the shooting. I know that Brian lay there on the ground bleeding while they got their story straight.
Did you witness this, Ali? Or?
Actually, at this time, I had come around from the back parking lot, and yes, in fact, my three-year-old had seen Brian laying on the ground and was asking. They had taken all his clothes off to address the wounds, I guess, but he was laying there completely naked, bleeding on the grass, and absolutely no one had gone over to tend to him. They were standing next to him, but they weren't tending to him.
So the medics hadn't arrived yet?
No. No, at that point, no one had shown up yet, and then a fire engine had shown up, but they still were not near the body at that point. And by this time, I would say about probably 30 to 40 people had gathered around, and the whole area had been taped off, however, and my son saw, and the first thing that came out of my son's mouth was, why did the police kill that man? And so that's, I want to teach my son that police are there to protect and protect the public. And that's my main issue. I feel that the guy was out of control. I feel like, that the police had most definitely needed to be there. I don't know where the situation could have escalated to. I just feel that something other than gunfire should have been used to contain the situation.
Now, what point did you come on the scene, Ellie?
Okay, well, I had just passed the area when Brian had pulled up onto the sidewalk. In fact, one of my neighbor's sons was one of the boys that were skating with the group that I had. I had a group of about six or seven boys, and we were in the back parking lot. I often go back there to make sure that,
This is a parking lot in back of the apartment?
In back of the apartment.
Where Brian Andrus was shot?
That's correct. And we had to pass by his house to get back there. So we had gone back there, and this boy had run up and said, hey, Brian just came home, and he's very angry, and he just ran out of his car down into the apartment. I'm going to go see what's going on. It's a very close-knit community here, and I told him, you probably should stay here and just mind your own business. And at that point, he said, no, I'm going to go look. And so he ran around the corner, and it was maybe a minute later that I heard the gunshots go off, and I knew immediately what it was, and I grabbed the kids that I had, including my own, and pulled them behind a car and made them sit down on the ground, and that's where we stayed. People were walking all over the place. I remember a neighbor of mine walked by, and I said, what was that? And she said, oh, that's just fireworks or something. I said, no, I don't think that's fireworks. After she walked by, a police officer then pulled into the back lot, and I went over to him and had to ask him to roll down his window, and after he rolled down his window, I asked him, that was gunshots, wasn't it? And he said, yes, that was. You need to get your kids into your house at that point.
So he didn't take the initiative to do that. You had to.
Oh, no, I had to walk over to his car and ask him. He was just sitting in his car with the window up. So then after he said, you need to take your kids into the house, I said, well, how can I? My house is right near where the gunshots are being fired.
So your house is actually, what, right next door to Brian's, or?
No, I would say it's in the next building over, but it's close enough.
Close enough to be hit by a bullet, huh?
Well, they were going by my patio with metal detectors, so. Mm-hmm. Anyway, after explaining to the officer that I lived in the directions of the gunshots, he rolled up his window and drove away. So I said into...
How much help?
The feeling here is that, now free counseling has been offered. I just got a notice on my door last night that was initiated by one of the residents here.
A woman named Carrie, right?
That's right. But the thing is that at the time of the occurrence, both ends of the street were blocked off. We weren't allowed back to our houses. And I understand that might be procedure during a crime investigation. However, the attitude was just, we're residents here. We need to know what's happening. You know, the woman that came to my house last night had gotten home late from work, had a car full of groceries, and she was told she couldn't come, drive up the street. She said, well, why? What's going on here? And it was just no information was given. It was just, you need to go find somewhere else to park, and you need to just walk. And she said, well, I have a car full of groceries.
And this was sometime after the shooting.
That's right. And all they did was just shrug their shoulders. He was standing about 20 feet away. And there was another child, but I'm not sure of his age, but he's in his teens somewhat. But he was standing 15 feet away from the gunfire, and a neighbor that surrounded in front of the apartment, and there are people everywhere, children everywhere, and I know mistakes can happen during a real, very involved scene like this, or high intensity event like this. Mistakes can happen, but I don't want my 3-year-old to be one of those mistakes.
Now, there is a city council meeting coming up next Tuesday. Do you think you have any interest in attending that council meeting and telling council members about your concerns?
I definitely would be interested in just in lieu of the fact that this is the second shooting this year of, that I feel is an unnecessary shooting by the police. And I don't want to make a misconception here. I respect the law enforcement in our county. I respect, the job that they have to do. I respect that, you can't always control a situation. However, I think there was enough information about Brian. I understand that Brian was on probation, that they knew they were coming into a volatile situation, and they knew the amount of children that live in these apartments.
Or certainly should know.
Well, it was pretty obvious. And when they're standing 15 feet away, it's hard to miss.
Wow.
Thank God they did miss. But what I have...